Now is the time to lock in the lowest prices we've ever seen for airline tickets with low-cost airlines. Over 500 airlines with some practically giving away seats. Call 858-988-7667. 858-988-7667.
Get your home secured for less than a dollar a day with no installation or equipment charges and a lifetime equipment replacement warranty. You can get security for your home. 800-915-8941. 800-915-8941.
It's The Buzz 24-7 at morningbuzz.com.
This is unbelievable.
Now that's what's up.
All right, welcome to a very special episode of the Morning Buzz 24-7, because we could change lives. We could change lives. I mean, no, we could. If you're missing, if you're just tuning in, it's Tuesday, and during the course of the show, we were doing the What's Happening segment with our buddy Gizmo, Matt Provost, our former colleague, who is still our colleague, but from a distance. Anyway, and he had mentioned that he, just off the cuff, he threw out, I might try some stand-up comedy.
This week?
Yeah, this
It's Tuesday, and he wants to do it on Thursday.
I think you should.
And Matt is joining us via Zoom.
What's up, ladies?
Back on the show. And he can't see that Jimmy Dunn, professional stand-up comedian for 25 years, how long?
3 decades.
30 years. 30-year veteran of the stand-up comedy circuit. Also part of the cast of Frasier on Paramount Plus, as well, is here. And when we were talking to Gizmo, I think he said something about it. I said, well, Jimmy's coming in. Maybe Jimmy could give him some tips. And Jimmy tested me. He texted me right after I said that. And he said, because Gizmo was like, I want to do stand-up comedy. Jimmy texted, tell Gizmo we're all set. I interpreted that to be, of course I'll help you. Jimmy meant it as...
we're all set. We don't need any more comedians.
Yeah, that's what he meant. Yeah.
Books are closed.
Nice. I'm gonna say, that's why I feel like a lot of comedians got to say that, because I feel like so many people right now are trying to get into that space.
You see, right. See that? Just saying, get into that space.
Well, I'm not like...
And I'll tell you why, man. Because it's if you watch on Instagram and you follow on Facebook, it just, the people go, oh, look at the life this guy's leading. It looks so easy. You just do some videos and then you go to a club and you make some money and, oh, I could be a stand-up comedian. I have funny observations. And for a guy who's been doing it as long as I have with no other job, it's my life. It's my living. It's my lifestyle. I don't want to say I'm insulted, but it bothers me when people think it is so easy to do. And that they think they're going to jump into doing it. It is like watching a football game going, I could play tight end.
Yeah, to be fair, I don't think that Matt is saying that.
No, he falls into the other group of people that want to do it as a bucket list thing.
Yeah.
Try it.
And go have some fun with it.
And I think this is good for Gizmo because, A, he wants to talk to somebody that's pro, because he told us earlier today that our show wasn't pro.
Right.
And then called another one of us on the show lazy.
Right.
So I think this comedy thing is your thing.
Well, and if that doesn't work, pick up the drums.
So, yeah. Gizmo, let me just say, like, you know, so we've been doing this show a long time, and, you know, it's different. It's not stand-up comedy by any stretch of the imagination. But we do still have people thinking, I mean, all you do is sit around and talk for 4 hours. How hard can it be? We all hear that. We've heard it forever. And yeah, I'm not going to say it's the hardest job in the world, but it ain't the fucking easiest. I could tell you that, you know.
Yeah.
So, but you can't expect people to know that. So tell me first. Let's get a little bit of background. Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
As far as stand-up comedians, Who are you, let's say, cutting your teeth on? Who are you watching? Who have you liked? Who do you appreciate?
So right now, I'll be honest, it's Joe Rogan and his friends that are doing this podcast. I've been going. I saw like Tom Segura up in Portland. I love going to see those guys. Mark Norman. I love those types of guys. I love that they're friends. They go out. I think they go off of each other. They get jokes from each other. Sure. I think Jimmy's the same thing. He has his community of friends, right, Jimmy, probably?
Yeah, I have good friends. I'm going to go see them all tonight. We're going to go to the North End and have dinner and hang out, and it'll be brilliantly funny dinner. But then when it comes to performing, you know, we're all on our own. We're all doing our own thing.
Right.
And it may come off. One of the things that Joe Rogan does so well is he's got his community of friends, and he's built the best comedy club in the world now. I mean, he's done everything right.
The mothership,
it comes off as if these guys are all like, hey, you know, helping each other out. And it's so cutthroat and competitive. And those comics that you're talking about, those are the best in the world. And they started, you know, 25, 30 years ago as well. And to get to where they are. So if you are a fan of the Rogan podcast and the Rogan comics and the comedy mothership, it sure looks easy because they make it look like a brotherhood.
Yeah. Well, at the same time, when I bought albums when I was 15 and 16, or more to the point, Scotty, you know, he emulated at the time the people that made it and were the best, right?
Sure.
The drummers and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And so you want to try it. Now, your chances of success, admittedly, are very, very small. But yeah, sometimes you want to get in there and mix it up. And sometimes as a musician, you know, playing the Legion on a Saturday night is good enough because it's great. And
sometimes as a comic of 30 years, I love the Legion.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Nothing wrong with that.
I love doing Elks Clubs.
So you love those kind of comedians. What makes you think you can do it?
I like making people laugh, and I'm not really trying to do it for success either. Even if I go to a local comedy club and I can go in there and make five people laugh and it can make their day, like, I think that's what it's about. I mean, if success comes with it after, like, in 10 years, 15 years, if I get good at it, maybe that's cool. But, like, really right away, I'm really just trying to get into it to make people laugh and go out like people go out for bar trivia nights. I like to go out for a comedy night and make people laugh.
Yeah.
And I think other people can do that as well. They don't have to be like a professional. They can go out and make these jokes and make people laugh, and they may do bad. And I think that's something too that I've got to know, that I might be terrible at this and it may not work out. But I think if I try and keep going at it, might be something I could be good at.
Well, you got balls. I mean, like, balls bigger than I do, that's for sure, because I know how hard it is. I've known a lot of comedians, and I've watched them closely, and I know how friggin' hard it is, where every word you use in a sentence is key to the success of the joke.
The delivery, too. Like, the delivery is a lot about it, too. It's like, you stumble over words. Like, and I think that's hard for me, too. Mm-hmm. It's like, I'm not always in front of crowds.
Mm-hmm.
So I think I've got to work on the delivery part of it. So there's so much of I've got to work on to be, I think, even remotely decent.
Dude, if you go up Thursday, is it Thursday night, maybe, how long are you going to be up there? And do you have any material?
I believe they give you a minute to 5 minutes. And I do have, like, one that I think would work decent. I could try.
1 minute?
Okay, so here's where the lesson begins.
Mm.
All right, you got to be ready for any type of feedback at all. All right? Okay, all right. Yeah, I mean, guys, we hear it.
And
right?
I think it's better to go in front, because, like, I thought about doing it with, like, friends and family, but I think you got to go in front of a crowd that doesn't know who you are. Like, they're not familiar with you, so I like that part of
it,
too.
I heard a couple of comedians, and we'll get to your thing in 1 second. Heard a couple of comedians talking the other night, and I think it was Sarah Silverman on a podcast or something, and she was talking about the first time she did it, it went great, which fools you into thinking that it's going to be great the second time.
Right.
And then you get the hell kicked out of you.
Yeah.
And it's devastating.
Yep.
Is it? I would have thought that your first time out is always awful.
It depends on the situation. You know, if the open mic night rooms where there's a good host and it's a supportive crowd and they know that you're an amateur comic, they're going to give you the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah.
Then all of a sudden you're at the bottom of a professional bill and they're looking for better comedy. Maybe it doesn't go so well.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Also, maybe because you're first at 7 o'clock and they're not ready yet.
Yeah. And then the other thing is, too, it's like the first time you do it, you just hear a little bit of a laugh, and boy, that sounds loud.
Yeah.
Right?
Right, right, right.
Yeah.
Okay. So do you want to tell us what you have?
Yeah, I could go for it. So so one time I had a one-night stand with a girl that lived with dead bodies. I met the girl on Tinder, and we went on a date, had some drinks, went well, and then I followed her back to her place, and we showed up. The sign said Graham Funeral Home. And as I read it, I was like, oh, she's kind of smart. She's bringing me right to the funeral home, right to kill me or something. Like, see, I have something like that, but I got to work it out a little bit better.
Yeah, before Thursday.
I know. I don't have much. Maybe I'll just show up Thursday, not sign up.
All right, well,
I want to give you sincere advice. to succeed at an open mic night.
Yeah.
And this is what you have to do. If they tell you you're going to do 1 to 5 minutes, plan to do about three.
Okay.
If you get your laughs and then you get off, that's the best thing to do. Whatever you do, don't do six, because you'll never get back on that stage again. If they say five, do 4.5. Don't go long. That's number one rule is, whatever they tell you in comedy, don't go over.
Absolutely.
And we know that's true.
That can be used, Gizmo, with anything. My band gets hired to play 30 minutes. We're giving you 27 minutes because the sound guy, the stage manager, and the next band love you.
Yeah.
So never, ever.
Okay. That's good to know.
It's always better to go short, hope that the crowd wanting more than them going, wow.
If you go long, that stage manager, that club owner is going to go, guy doesn't listen.
Yep.
He's done.
Well, plus, I think Jimmy's saying, leave him laughing.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly. Leave him wanting more.
Leave him wanting more. But also, yes, this on an open mic night, there's probably 8 other comics behind you.
Yeah.
And if you burn the light, not only will the club remember, the other comics will remember. That's number one. Number two, you got to prepare, and you got to, I always bring it back to football, but when you listen to Tom Brady talk, he always says the first 15 plays are scripted. You have to have a script. It all starts with the joke. So you can't kind of go up there and have an idea. And I know it looks like Mark Norman and Joe Rogan, that these guys are going up with kind of an idea.
Right.
But they're more scripted than you know. And they're also better at kind of having an idea. And sometimes you're seeing them do new stuff. But you have to be scripted. And as Greg said, to the word. Because sometimes it's the tweak of a little word. So what you want to do is get a notebook and write this down word for word. Figure out that bit. Figure out where the setup is, where the punchline is, and rehearse it. When I started doing open mics, I used to walk around with a tape recorder, and I would record the joke word for word.
Yeah.
And then I'd listen to it back over and over so I could recite it. When I did Letterman, this is a great example. I had five minutes on Letterman. And they see your tape and they go, we want you to do this joke, that joke, Jack. Don't do this one and that. So you have your set. I had a month before that. I went to every comedy club in Boston every night running that set, 5 minutes, so I could do it muscle memory. Every single word, every single beat. And if you really want to do well at an open mic night, you'll watch. If you go watch an open mic night, the people who come in with a notebook under their arm, they're the ones that are going to do well. Because it all starts with writing it down. So you got to write it down. You got to memorize it. And then you got to commit to it. And you have to have jokes. And right now you have a half of a premise. And so that's, you got to write 3 minutes of jokes before you even think about going up on that stage. Because you won't get back on again for a long time.
Here's what you have to remember. You and I and us and the guys, we're all hanging out, right? And you're funny because you are a funny guy. Yeah. And you can be funny. And you can make us laugh. Making us laugh in a group sitting around in a living room is totally different than standing up on a stage. And Jimmy's 100% right. You have to be prepared. You're 2 days out from when you want to jump on stage.
Yeah.
And you haven't, like, that's a good story. And the premise is great. And I'm sitting there going, where's it going to lead? Where's it going to lead? Yeah. Where's the punch? And it didn't have one.
Yeah.
It didn't have one because you haven't
finished it yet. I think that was the thing. Yeah. That's what I have I have a bunch of topics that I think are good for a joke. I just need to, like, Jimmy gives a good point. Like, I need to write up the script, have a good 6 minutes. Everything's written out. And do you use something like, do you voice memos when you go out to, like, listen back to them?
Well, that's what he's talking about when he was sometimes recording his stuff. Yeah.
And when I have an idea.
Yeah, because I thought about doing that, like, recording it too. Like, even if I'm at home by myself for doing it, just record myself and then, like, listen to the delivery of it.
100%.
You got to have sex with a corpse at the end of that story.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
I mean, there's got to be
I feel like
twist.
It can go a lot of different ways, and I just really had to put my brain to it and think about it.
Sex with a corpse, right?
Yeah.
Is that where you were going in your head?
That's where it's going to go, yes.
True story. It is a true story, by the way.
She was a dead F.
She was a stiff.
One of us was stiff.
Lauren just crushed it.
And nobody cares when you're on stage. Yeah, this is stiff. That's a perfect, that's it.
That's it right
there. Nobody cares on stage if the story's true or not either.
Just gave you the out for your fish. She was a stiff, you know. I should have known she was a stiff.
She was a stiff.
Yeah, boom.
That's there
you
hot.
Go. I'm going to give you a tip here. There's a book called Comedy Writing Secrets. It's written by a guy named Mel Helitzer. And in it, he describes how a joke fits into 6 or 7 different formulas. There are different formulas for a joke. But essentially, a joke is a misdirection. If you watch The Three Stooges and Mo goes, hey, look over here, and then he smacks you over from the other side.
Right.
That's what a joke is. You get people leaning one way, and you hit them the other way. So you have to learn, before you get on stage, how to write a joke.
Yeah.
And you can have all those premises, and then you put them in this little formula from this book.
Yeah.
And try and figure out a joke. And then you have a joke, then you add another couple, two, three jokes. Then you have five or six jokes, then you have a little set. Then memorize it, then start thinking about going on open mic on open mic night.
So maybe the stiff is where you're expecting to go in that joke, right?
Right.
You think you're going there. Maybe you throw them another thing. Maybe you're the stiff, or couldn't get stiff or whatever.
Yeah, exactly. But the joke is around the word stiff, and that is a play on words. That's
right.
one of the many formulas to write a joke.
Yeah.
Is to use the word stiff in a different. In a different meaning, an entendre.
This is all well known to Kelly. You know all this, right, Kelly?
Kelly knows.
Did they call it a comeback? Like when someone comes back around.
Yeah, a callback.
A callback.
That's what it is. Okay.
Yeah.
I like the callbacks. Those are tough to do. Then.
So what are you? Well, you a callback is only done when it's successful,
right?
Like a callback has to be something that caught the audience the first. Like we do them all the time.
Yes.
More for ourselves than the audience, but the audience with us, it's a lot of people listening in headphones or in their car. They're by themselves. They're really listening. In a club, there's a lot going on. So you gotta rise above the din. The noise of people talking, people who aren't paying attention, they pay to see a show, they won't shut the fuck up. It's annoying, but that's where you're going to be, right?
Yeah.
And they didn't pay to see you, so they're more likely to be less than attentive.
Yeah.
And you have to break through that wall.
And there's 20 people in that room, and 10 of them came to see the other guy.
Yeah, exactly.
Because he lives down the street.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're battling a lot of things, which is why you got to be super prepared.
Yeah.
You can't just, like I said, people watch it, and when it's done well, it looks like it's you're just winging it. No.
Yeah.
No.
What kind of questions do you have? Or if you guys have any questions about, because Jimmy and I have talked a lot about the art of it, and I've talked about it with other friends like Bob, Marley and Larry the Cable Guy.
Sure.
And I watch them work. And when I would go see Larry, like I saw him a few nights in a row when we were doing gigs with him before he blasted off into the stratosphere, and he would work a joke and change the wording, and he would look at it, he would say the new words, and he'd look around and see if I was laughing bigger than I had the night before.
Yep.
Because he's tinkering the joke. The audience is going to laugh because it's funny. He's looking at me to say which is better.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So it's you write a joke, and it's kind of something you have to continually service and pay attention to, right? So it's very interesting. I find the whole art of it, the craft, incredibly interesting. What questions do you have, Matt, that you have always wondered about with stand-up comedy that you want to ask Jimmy?
Yeah, I guess I guess once you're out and you're doing the open mics, like how – do you keep going to like different areas, or do you go to the same open mic locations to the same crowd? Because I feel like if you keep going back to the same crowd, they might get used to you, and you might adapt like an audience that might laugh at anything you say. So do you keep moving around to different open mics?
Yes, 100%. When I first started doing stand-up comedy, I put 70,000 miles on my car in 1 year. And that was going to Providence, Rhode Island every Wednesday night to do their open mic. I would go out to Worcester every Thursday night to do their open mic. I'd get in the open mics in Boston whenever I could. And if someone said, hey, I got a gig in Bangor, Maine for $25, I went and did it. And that was all just to get on stage. There's no substitution for stage time. You just have to keep doing it. But you really have to, that's just a tiny, tiny part of it is that 5 minutes on stage. The other hours are with your head in your notebook, taking these little ideas and going, how can I turn this into a joke? Does this get bigger? Can it be a bit, right? It's all about writing that script. And if you want it to be a job, you have to treat the writing part of it as the writing and the travel are the two parts of my job that are a job. My favorite part of my job is the hour that I'm on stage telling jokes.
Is the introspection involved in the art form? And I'm using those terms seriously because that's what they are. Is the introspection of the art form why it attracts people that tend to be sort of like dark You know what I mean? Like, they have a dark look on the world. They have a dark sense of humor.
Could be.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Everything's on the inside. It's turmoil. Everything on the inside is, they're milling it over in their head. They're milling it over in their head. And, you know, we all know some comedians can be pretty dark on the inside.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah. I think that's part of it. I think that's the same with musicians. I think that's a dark.
Artists
in general is a dark word. And I do really appreciate the fact that you say it's an art. And I don't. You know, this isn't a knock on Matt, but when people watch it and say, "Oh, I'm going to try that," it is. It's an art. It's and that's the part that just kind of. There are so many people out there doing open mic comedy and selling it to people as actual comedy, as professional comedy on a Saturday night. If you're paying $25 to see a comic, they should have been doing it for a while.
Well, I mean, open mics aren't.
Open mics is a whole different thing. When it's advertised as an open mic, that's where you're supposed to be, and that's where you're supposed to learn.
Yeah.
But it takes a long time to go from there to paid on a Saturday night.
I want to add, Gizmo, that, and I'm not the comedian, but I mean, I've worked with Jimmy and known Jimmy forever and a lot of other guys. The benefit to going to different places is you can use the same material and hone that same material, where if you go back to the same place every week running the same stuff, that's when they're going to have heard your shit.
Mostly it's going to be, you know, the majority of open mics are 15 to 20 people that are hardcore comedy fans or know one of them. And then in the back of the room, there's eight other comics. Don't worry about getting them to laugh.
Yeah.
Because that doesn't matter. They're going to laugh at really dark stuff that won't work when you get on a real stage.
Right.
All you care about is perfecting your 5 minutes. That's what you should be working on.
But if those eight comedy fans that go to that open mic every week are there every week and you go and run the same stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
But you'll gain more by running it than you'll lose by those eight people.
Okay. All right.
And one of the other things that came out of the pandemic was there were so many comics that were bored and trying to make themselves relevant online that everybody became a preacher on social media saying, you got to keep writing. People that haven't even done it yet are saying, oh, I got to keep writing new stuff so that they don't see the old stuff. No, don't do that. Write a good 5 minutes and do it for 6 months if you have to.
Yeah.
I have young comics that will be asking me, hey, have you seen my new stuff? Don't do new stuff. I need you to have a reliable 15 minutes that you can do everywhere before you can become a pro.
Right.
You have to have a set. You have to write an act, and you have to figure out your voice. And that, finding my voice took me 10 years before I figured out who I was on stage.
Yeah, but you don't stop writing.
No.
You can write.
I don't stop writing.
Time.
But when you're an open micer, when you're trying to become if you're really trying to make this a job, the first thing you
got
to do is come up with 10 minutes. And if that, it should take you 6 months to write a really good 10 minutes.
Did you ever stay up at night after you were first getting going, like thinking about, oh, Wednesday night, I really freaking blew it. How bad was that? Going over certain jokes and the way it was worded and the way you made a mistake?
Yeah, but more, less I blew it, more what's wrong with this joke and can I fix it? And the other thing that happens, it still happens today, is I'm always looking for, I can write a joke about anything. I need the things to write the jokes about that everyone else hasn't done.
Yeah.
So when I come up with an idea, when I come up with an idea that's an idea for a little bit, I had this idea the other day, like 2 days ago. A couple days ago, we were talking about dentists, but I'm filling out the dental forms, right? And date of birth, and I put in my date of birth, and then right underneath it, how old are you? Well, if you can't do that simple math, I don't know if I want you counting to 28 and tearing my tooth out, right? So there's a joke there.
Yeah, right.
But that just goes in my thing, and then what happens is I will sit down, and I will try and write it in, and I always end up writing it into a big bit, and then parts of it work, and then it gets smaller. That's how my jokes get written. But I'm constantly looking for something to write about, and I could never turn that off.
Right, that's my point.
And as an open micer, that was just 24-hour obsession. Maybe there's a joke in this, maybe there's a joke in that, and it will drive you nuts. But that's the whole thing, is you got to find stuff to write jokes about that will fit your voice, and you have to figure out what your voice is.
Do you have any idea what your voice is?
Yeah, so is that kind of like choosing like a niche, like basically like a cat, like, because I feel like a lot of my jokes would be about being single, like going out on dates,
sure,
and going to the gym, that type of thing. Like, kind of like when Bert Kreischer, I follow him a lot. He's like a more of like a family guy, and a lot of his jokes are based around his daughters, mm-hmm, and his family, and I think they work out really well. So I think I you know, choose that, like being single, going out on dates, and going
choose
around
what
that.
You know, what you know best.
Cats.
I've heard you for over a year now. Come on. Before you do your radio, your apps, you guys have a conversation, and you have stories about your life, and that would be the first thing that I would put on the list. Is a guy who's always out on always out on a date, right?
Yeah, right.
Now it's material that's been done forever, so you got to find your angle on it,
right?
Make it original about you, but that is exactly where you want to start, mm-hmm, and okay, you know. You watch some of the greats that, you know, Richard Lewis just passed away. Richard Lewis was phenomenal at doing the dating material stuff.
Yeah.
That Seinfeld's early stuff was all dating stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that's exactly what you want to do. You want to write about your life. You want to talk about things that you're comfortable talking about. But you have to learn how to write a joke first before you, before you get on that stage.
Yeah, that's what I think.
I highly discourage you from doing it Thursday.
I just need to write the jokes.
Yeah,
write the jokes out.
We want to make sure. Did you hear what Jimmy just said?
I would highly discourage you from doing it Thursday.
Just wait.
I would get way more prepared.
Go and just see what it's all about. Sign up.
That's good.
I think that's great. You should go a bunch and watch and look. Patrice O'Neill, one of the greatest comics of all time, was the door guy at the Comedy Connection for 5 years. For 5 years.
I love it.
And he sat there, and I remember he had the toothpick in his mouth, and he go, "I'm funny, and this guy, Jimmy Dunn."
Yeah.
And he just watched for years, and then he went, "Okay, time to do it."
Yeah.
And he went up there, and you know what? He was funnier than all of us.
Yeah.
But he learned by watching. Pauly Shore's mom owns the Comedy Store.
Mitzi Shore.
He would watch, you know, Sam Kennison used to babysit Pauly Shore.
Yeah.
But the education of just watching good comics, don't steal their jokes, don't take their rhythms or their personas, but watch and study what they're good at. And that do that for a while before you get on that stage. Just look at it this way. Like, when you do that open mic night, even though there's only 12 people in that room, if you really want to have a little bit of a path here and go somewhere with it, just be so overprepared for that. Be ready. You can't just go up and wing it.
You have a screw, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm going to go Thursday, watch him, see what they do.
There you go.
Friday, I'm going to see Shane Gillis. He's really good. So see what he's got opening acts, too, that I can get some cool ideas from. I like going to those shows and getting ideas, too, and seeing different art forms.
Yeah, how they work it out.
I'd love to be a musician. I can't play anything, but I'd love to go watch them play because I love it. You know, I love watching them. I love watching how they do things. I love stand-up comedy the same. Think about the sex with the corpse, though. I mean, try to work that in with the actual...
That's a start.
I like the stiff word.
It's a stiff,
It's a start, for sure.
Yeah,
I was looking at Kelly Brown because I feel like, when I think of stiff, I think of Kelly and his pill commercials,
Northeast
Men's Health, and I was like, Kelly, stiff.
So what you did today, or what we did here, or Jimmy did more to the point, is, you know, for everybody that's come up to him and every other comedian, professional comedian, said, "Hey, I want to break into it. How do I do it?" This has been an eye-opening kind of introduction to what to be ready for, what to watch out for, how to prepare. Some really good tips. Jimmy, I thought you were
I'm definitely a little more scared than I was coming into this.
I thought you were going to break his balls more than you did, and I like that you didn't. You just handled it and just gave him the straight shit.
But I didn't break his balls because, you know, he's a friend of the family here.
Yeah, right.
But honestly, if he was just some kid off the street doing this call, I'd say, don't do it, kid.
Yeah.
Don't waste your time.
Right.
Because it's not... how do I say this?
For the faint of heart?
No,
it's not like he has
a full-time job.
It's not just something you just do. It's for me.
For a long time.
It's my life, and it's my world. And when people watch it and go, "I like Shane Gillis. I think I could be like him." You're out of your fucking mind.
Yeah,
that guy's one of the best comics in the world, and he's been doing it for so long.
Yeah,
but they also
but
have
it's like
to start
watching
somewhere.
Zeppelin and going, "I mean, listen."
But they start somewhere. Jimmy.
I know. Yeah, they do start somewhere.
He's encouraging people to start someplace.
No, they do start somewhere. They do 100%. And I'll tell you this too: if you really want to be a comic and get into this world, before you even go on stage, go take a class. take a stand-up comedy writing class. My buddy Tony V teaches one down in Boston. They do them online too.
That's cool.
And you take a class for 6 weeks, and he teaches you how to take that idea about the stiff and turn it into an actual joke. And then at the end of the six or 7 weeks, then you go on stage at Laugh Boston in front of 40, 50 people, and you do a set.
I didn't know they had classes like that.
Oh, yeah.
That's pretty cool.
That's really cool.
And there's a lot of really bad people teaching those classes. Really, a lot of people that have never done anything telling you how to do it. So that's the other part is Tony's phenomenal at it.
I think the same thing of program directors.
Exactly.
There's a lot of people who have never done it.
That everybody is a motivator and let me tell you how to do it kind of thing, right?
But
I have these young comics come up to me and go, hey, would you watch my set and give me some notes? If I did that to Kevin Knox 25 years ago, he'd say, yeah, let me give you some notes. And he'd throw me right down the front steps at Knicks.
Yeah.
Get the hell out of here.
Yeah.
Learn, sit in the back and learn like everybody else,
yeah.
you know?
Right.
And it just, the whole culture of, and I'll tell you why it bothers me the most, is there are a few people that have made these videos that are funny in the videos, and they blow up. And now they have millions of followers online for a video.
Yeah.
And they're not good comics. But my agent, the guy that used to represent me and call clubs around the country to book me, dropped me for this guy. Because this guy's going to sell a ton of seats once.
Yeah.
Right? But he's not a good comic.
Yeah.
And
now some people listening to you say that are going to say, they're going to call out envy.
There's an envy thing. I am very envious that I can't draw more people than I do.
Right.
Right? Because I've been doing it for a long time.
Sure. Yeah.
But I'll tell you what. There is an envy thing, 100%. But put that guy on after me. Put him on after me.
Yeah.
And then we'll see about envy.
Okay.
All right?
I'm a pro, though. It's in my last name.
That's funny. What'd you just say, Gizmo?
I said I'm a pro. It's in my last name.
Yeah, provost. There you go. Well, listen, that's invaluable. That's invaluable invaluable advice right there. That's some serious.
That is, because I've been wanting to get into a while, and I feel like you never know how to start, and you don't get any advice from anyone, so that's really good advice.
Get after it, man.
I definitely keep writing.
Get after it.
Get a good 6 minutes, and then get out.
Remember now.
Get that book.
Remember, they want like 1 to 5, so give them 4.
And, okay.
Right.
And buy
not six.
Don't give him 6.
Okay.
I'm telling you, when I did my first open mic. Yeah, no encores. Yeah, they'd be out there with their lighters going, free bird.
Yeah.
When I did my first open mic at the legendary Comedy Connection in Boston.
Yeah.
3 to 5.
Yeah.
In my mind, crushing it.
Yeah.
7.
Yeah.
7.
Yeah.
Guys waving. I get off the stage at 7. Didn't see that stage for a year.
Yeah.
And you know that guy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know that guy because he's pretty prominent in this business.
Yeah, I know he is.
Yeah.
I know he is.
And you know
what? Long memory.
And you know what?
Yeah.
He was right.
Yep.
And when I do the Sam Adams show in Boston, it's 10 minutes, and these are pros. And they come in, they don't have a watch on their hand, and I go, what are you doing?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'll know 10. You better know 10.
Yeah.
Because if you know 11, you're not coming back.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Right.
It's insulting to the other guy.
Yeah. Yeah, cool. Well, there you go.
We were talking about Patrice. Let me share this last story about Patrice. Patrice starts doing comedy. He's phenomenal right from the get-go. MTV comes into town to do an audition, and it's a big deal.
Sure.
Just to get on that audition was a big deal. And he's on like third, and we're supposed to do 7 minutes each. And Patrice goes up, and he does 3 minutes, and he's crushing. He does 5, 7, 9. Oh. 15, 20, and he's destroying this room, right? And in the back, the guy's waving a towel, and he finally shuts his mic off. And Patrice comes off stage, and Barkley goes, what the hell do you think you're doing? And Patrice goes, getting on MTV, bitch. And you know what?
He did. He did. wouldn't suggest you do that. Don't try that, Gizmo. All right?
Well, okay.
Good luck, man. Good luck.
Thank you.
Get after it.
I'll keep you guys updated on the writing and then when I sign up.
Absolutely. Yes. Okay. All right.
Get that book, Matt. Okay. I'll send you the link on the book, and then go online and look up, see if Laugh Boston does online classes. I think they do.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, check that out. That'll be really cool to go through some classes.
Take a class and learn from some pros, and prepare way more than you think before you do this.
Right. Okay.
Good luck, brother.
I'm definitely way underprepared coming in.
All right, well, good thing we got a chance to talk today then. So we'll talk to you in about a week and a half, 2 weeks. We'll see you in two weeks. All right, buddy.
Good luck. Sounds good. See you guys.
Thank you, brother. Appreciate it. He's a good kid.
He's a really good kid. Why I'm giving him advice.
Yeah, he's a good kid. I just don't think he wasn't thinking about it. He had a joke written.
What? Yeah. You
know, so good luck. There's good advice, though. Seriously good advice.
There's a clip going around of Sandler talking about the same deal when he first time he went into Boston.
Yeah.
And his brother talked him in and said, "You're really funny. Let's go to this comedy club."
Yeah.
And he was 17 years old and he went down to Stitch's Comedy Club. My buddy Harry put him on that stage first time.
Yeah.
And completely unprepared, just going to wing it.
Yeah.
And got a couple of laughs.
That scares me.
And Harry went, "You're really funny, but you got to write some stuff." And Sandler talks about getting in the car with his brother driving back to New Hampshire and his brother going, "Hey, next time, man, you should prepare some stuff."
Yeah, right.
And that's when Sandler learned,
right,
I got to write.
Yeah.
And then, you know, a year later, he's down there in New York City crushing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Crazy. It's an insane world to watch from the outside looking in and being a spectator from the sides and in the back room and stuff like that. It's competitive, it's intimidating, it's terrifying, it's rejecting, it's all of those things.
And I love all of that. And that's why I get so passionate, because I love that. And
yeah.
And I know that you're going to say, "Well, people watch, you know, Jimmy Page and they went, 'Oh, I want to play guitar.'" And that's fine. And if you watch Shane Gillis and you go, "Oh my God, I want to do that." That's fine. But I'm telling you can't.
Yeah, right.
That's the part that
you
just,
can do it. Don't expect to be like that.
Yeah, yeah. And you know, I think there's some room in the, you know, I just hate when people look at it like it's a book report or a business thing.
I get it.
It's my life, and I get very protective of it.
Yeah, passion. I get it.
Very
yeah.
passionate
you know?
About it.
We just sit here for 4.5 hours and, you know, just shoot the shit. And
same deal.
No, but in any job,
yes.
My point is, whether it's Jimmy Page, whether any type of thing like that, it's way more than you think it is. But thank you, man. That was interesting.
Yes,
really
it was.
Interesting
yeah.
for me. Thank you, man. Appreciate it.
Let me list off the Elks clubs I'll be performing at now.
I know. All right. Well, thank you, brother. Appreciate it.
Right on.
We're going to go, and we will see you tomorrow. Same bat time, same bat channel, baby.
Now is the time to lock in the lowest prices we've ever seen for airline tickets with low-cost airlines. Over 500 airlines with some practically giving away seats. Call 858-988-7667. 858-988-7667.
Get your home secured for less than $1 a day with no installation or equipment charges and a lifetime equipment replacement warranty. You can get security for your home. 800-915-8941. 800-915-8941. Do you know someone with a drinking or drug problem? Is their addiction spiraling out of control? Get sober now. 800-959-6348. Private insurance may cover costs with Elite Rehab Placement. 800-959-6348.